If you would, open your Bibles to the book of John, chapter 11. John chapter 11. John chapter 11 this morning. And we'll begin reading in verse 17. John chapter 11, verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. This is obviously talking about Lazarus. He said, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Our Father, we do thank you for all that you've given us, and we thank you for the fact that we can celebrate the resurrection this day. Thank you for our visitors that are here. Lord, just pray you'd bless them. You know their needs. You know their everything that they would possibly need. And Lord, we just pray that we can be a blessing to them, and we're just thankful for them being here. Thankful for each one that's here, Father. But we just ask that you would help us. Lord, you know our hearts. You know our needs. You know the things we're afraid of. You know the things that we're ashamed of. You know all things. So Lord, help us to just be open and honest before you, and just to open our hearts and hear the word of God and let you speak to us. Pray you'd help me now as I preach the word of God. And pray you'd bless your people. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, the resurrection of Lazarus from the grave. And there's a lot of things about it, but it's always amazed me when I read this. Sometimes I think we get caught up in the story. And we get the story, right? You know, Jesus was there. They heard Lazarus was sick and Jesus didn't go. And he told them that that sickness was not unto death, but for the glory of God. And then later he gets there, and now we get to the point we're at, and Lazarus has been dead 4 days already. And Mary and Martha and later Mary echo the same thing that the disciples did. The disciples said, you know, if he's sick, why don't you go help him? And Martha says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. He said, if you'd been here, Lord, you could have stopped him from dying. And we missed the whole point of talking about the resurrection. And he says to her in verse 23, after he told her in verse 23 rather, he says, thy brother shall rise again. And Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. You know, that's what we look forward to, isn't it? We look forward to that day when, even though the Bible tells us, I quoted it earlier, the Bible says for the Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The soul and spirit go unto the Lord at physical death. And then we look forward to the day when the body will be raised and our redemption will be complete. Body, soul, and spirit. You know, a lot of people... We look at people and they can't believe in the redemption of the body and of the soul and the spirit because we put the body in the ground. And a lot of people see that and they despair. But with the Christian, we look at the fact and we say that one day that body will be raised, and God created man, body, soul, and spirit, right? And so in order for salvation or redemption to be true and complete, he has to complete that. He has to redeem us, body, soul, and spirit. And we live in a world where we have redemption of the soul and spirit, but the body is still carnal. We still live in a depraved body, if you will. We still live in a body that's subject to sickness and death and all the things that came as a result of sin. We look forward to going to heaven. We look to have a new body fashioned like unto His glorious body and be in heaven where there's a place where there's no sin, right? That's the hope of the Christian. That's what we look forward to. But when she said, "I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day," Jesus' answer to her was not, "Yep, you're right, one day I'll raise Him from the dead and it'll all be good." That's not what He said. He said, Jesus said unto her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that liveth and believeth in Me shall never die." And then He asked the most important question. "Believest thou this?" Do you believe this? And that tells me that when we talk about the resurrection, first of all, the one thing I would say about the resurrection is the resurrection is personal. It's a personal thing. When we're talking about the resurrection and belief in a resurrection, it's a personal thing. It's not just a corporate thing. It's something that you have to deal with individually. I have to deal with myself. And so what does the resurrection mean? What does the resurrection mean? Well, obviously the resurrection means hope. The hope of something better. That this world and living here is not just the end. That there's something to look forward to. That there's something beyond what little we benefit from doing the right things and living right and serving God in this day and age, which sometimes in this world seems to not have much of a return. There's some people that serve the Lord faithfully and seem to get nothing. And then if you read Psalm 73, when he talks about how David talks about how he was envious. He was envious at the prosperity of the wicked. Sometimes it seems that that wicked people prosper greatly in this world, and it doesn't seem fair. But the resurrection gives hope that, hey, the life you live here now, even though you may not reap all of the benefits of salvation. Now, there's a resurrection, there's another world coming, there's a world, a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And we, like Jesus said, we don't lay up treasure for ourselves here on earth, we lay up treasure in heaven. Amen. Where neither moth nor rust corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal. And that as children of God, we have an inheritance that's incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved for us in heaven. And a lot of people today are embracing the idea of the resurrection, and it's a picture of hope, something to look forward to. You know, we look forward, the Bible talks about the return of Jesus Christ as that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity, all sin. He died for us on Calvary's cross. He died and literally shed His blood as payment for our sins. And so there's that hope. But the first thing is, the resurrection doesn't just mean hope in the sense of an abstract sense of something that's future. It means salvation. Amen. The resurrection means salvation. I mentioned it briefly earlier today. If Christ had died on Calvary's cross, and we had His tomb today, and we have Him there. By the way, all these people, and there's been a bevy of them that have claimed that they had secret knowledge of where the tomb of Jesus was, but you know, none of them ever show anybody, do they? They know where the body is, but they never show anybody. They claim all kind of things, but there's no body because He rose from the dead and nobody's been able to produce it. By the way, the Jews that hated Him, do you not think that if they could have produced a body, they would have? The Roman, the mightiest government of the day, the people that ruled pretty much the known world at that day, who hated Him, do you not think if they could have provided a body, showed a body, they would have? See, we're so far removed from it, we don't. We look at it in the abstract, but just think about it. Just think about what took place. And there's no body, and there never has been. They laid the body in the tomb, and then they came back, and people saw Him risen. And we look at all the things the Bible says that Jesus did after His resurrection, and all the things that happened during that time. And there's no body there, but the resurrection means salvation, because if Jesus had stayed in the ground, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. What we deserve for our sin, what we naturally have, is death. And it's not just physical death, which is a result of sin, but the Bible talks about a second death, that being separated from God for all eternity in a place we called hell. And that place was not made for us. If you ever read Matthew chapter 25, he has the parable of the sheep and the goats. And he says, "Then shall he say unto them also on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." At some point in before what we would call our history, Satan rebelled, and there was a place prepared for him and the angels that followed him. That which we call devils now, not angels. But it was created for them. But the simple fact is, when man sinned, we incurred the same penalty, but God gave us the promise of salvation through the seed of the woman which would bruise the serpent's head, and that was Jesus Christ. And we go through all of that picture and we see that, and He died on Calvary's cross, He shed His blood, they put His body in the tomb, but now it's not there because He's risen. And therefore, it means salvation. Because you see, if you have a penalty to be paid, If you're driving down the road and you're traveling 70 in a 30 mile an hour zone, and the policeman pulls you over and he writes you a ticket, and you go before the judge and the judge says you have a $500 fine, you don't give the man $100 and go on your way. You say, "Well, Judge, all I've got is $100. And he said, "Well, I've got a solution for that. I'll take your $100 and then I'll assign you time in jail if you won't pay the rest of it. You don't pay the fine, you're not going to be absolved of that or get past that crime, if you will, until justice has been
completed. And the fact that Christ rose from the dead means the penalty for sin has been paid. And that's why Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." And all of us have sinned, from the least to the greatest. The very best of us have sinned. The very rest of us have failed. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And we know that clearly. We say the same thing. When we do something we know is wrong, well, nobody's perfect, right? We acknowledge it openly, don't we? Yet heaven's a place of perfection. How is the imperfect ever going to be acceptable in perfection? Until that penalty is paid for, and the penalty is death. And Christ, because of who He was and who He is, when He died in our place, His death was enough to pay for all that sin. And He proved that the penalty was paid in full because why? He rose from the dead. He's not dead anymore. He's not dead anymore. Don't worry about him. He's fine. He rose from the dead. Incorruptible. He paid that penalty in full. And that's why the resurrection of Christ means salvation. It means that gospel that we preach. Hey, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's no maybe, there's no if, there's no buts. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saves us. And what's required of us is simply to humble ourselves, acknowledge ourselves as needing a Savior and needing salvation, and then simply putting our faith in Him and what He did for us already. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, right? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he believeth not on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You see, people reject salvation because they don't want to acknowledge their evil. They don't want to acknowledge their sin. And you know, we like to compare ourselves one against another. I tell you what, I could tell you my life story, and you could probably compare yourself to me, and you'd come out smelling like a rose. But you're not being judged based on who I am or who I was. You're going to be judged based upon God's law, not anybody else's behavior. And that's why salvation is a gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the resurrection means hope, and that hope is wrapped up in salvation. But it's not just looking forward. It's not just the resurrection, doesn't just look forward. It has an impact today. And I want to show you that. The resurrection also means freedom. It means liberty. If you go to the book of Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. It tells us this. It says this. It says, in verse 4, in verse 1 it says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And the answer is, "God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall
be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. You know what that means? That means freedom. That means liberty. The resurrection means freedom. It means liberty. It means that now I am no longer a slave to sin. I no longer, as a child of God, as somebody who's trusted Christ as my Savior, I have a choice. You know, as I was growing up, I pretty much lived based upon how I felt at a given moment. I a lot of times when what we would call temptation came about, I didn't question it. I just went right into it. You know, I've told the story and I've shared my testimony, and I've said a lot of times, I've said, you know, when my brother and my cousins and the people I ran with and everything, when they told me, hey, let's go get a beer, let's go to the beer joint or something like that, I didn't sit there and question it. I said, yeah. I didn't sit there and think, now should I do this? What are going to be the consequences? I didn't do that. Yeah. Hey, let's go pick up some women. Yeah. Hey, I've got some weed. You want some? Yeah. I could go down the list of things that I'm ashamed of. And it may not be as blatant as that. It may be just something small. Sometimes it's on the inside. Sometimes it's the things that are on the inside that nobody else knows about. And a lost person is a slave to sin. He has no freedom. But when somebody trusts Christ as their Savior, not only do their sins be forgiven, not only are they adopted as a child of God, but God's Spirit comes to dwell in them, and now they have a choice. You can choose to serve God. You don't have to be subject to sin. You can say no to sin, and you can say yes to God. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, it says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is abomination. The Bible says that people that are lost, even though they may do what they would think are good works and good things, they're what the Bible calls dead works. Because they're done out of self-righteousness, which is, by the way, a sin, right? Isn't that the big sin everybody likes to put it? People that go to church, well, they're just a bunch of self-righteous hypocrites, right? They think they're better than everybody else. No, they don't, really. Not if they know the Lord, not if they're being obedient to God. But the reality is, you know, you go down to the, you go down to most places that, and people that talk like that, they're awful judgmental about a bunch of people they don't know nothing about, aren't they? See what I'm saying? And the Bible says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So we could go down and we could look at all the theological implications, but the one thing about it I want you to understand is the resurrection means I'm free. I have now the power to please God, the power to serve God, the power to say no to sin. So the resurrection means hope. There's a better life, a better world, a better day to come. The resurrection means salvation. Christ has paid the penalty, and therefore salvation is available to all. And the resurrection means freedom, liberty. The Bible says, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Let me ask you this today. Do you have that hope? Do you know for sure if you die today you go to heaven? Do you have salvation? Do you know you're saved? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Not hope so, know so. Bible was written so we can know we have eternal life, know we're right with God. Do you have freedom? Are you free? That's what God wants for you. That's what Jesus Christ purchased for you. That's what the resurrection of Christ is all about. What an amazing thing. And you know, the sad thing is most people are going to celebrate Easter today and walk away slaves to sin. That's a shame. Doesn't have to be that way, does it? There are people who are going to celebrate Easter and walk away with no hope. There are going to be people that are going to celebrate Easter and walk away not knowing what's going to happen when they die. And it doesn't have to be that way. I don't know your heart. I can't see inside anybody's heart, but you know. God knows. If you're not saved today, I just want to let you know how much God loves you. And He's provided everything necessary for you to be forgiven, to be a child of God, to have a home in heaven. And if you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. I trust Christ as my Savior." I just want to tell you something. You can live free. You don't have to. You don't have to just continually submit to sin. There's freedom. There's liberty. We can grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, and we can become what God wants us to be. That's something that's good. And you know, the Bible even says when we fail, as a Christian, it says when we fail what? If we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if I fail, I can get on my face before God and bow my head to Him, and I can call on Him and say, "Lord, Father, please forgive me." And He will. Jesus said it this way. He said, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." If you don't know Christ as your Savior, would you come to Him today? And if you're a Christian, you're saved. Boy, this ought to be a day that just fills you with hope and liberty. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close the service this morning. Father, we thank You for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank You for the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross as payment for our sins. We thank You, Lord, for all that He did and the things that we read in the Word of God about Him. And Lord, we just pray that You'd help us to see Jesus clearly for who He is. But Lord, I just pray that each person would understand and know what the resurrection means, not just as an academic exercise and not just as knowing something that's taught, but know it personally, by experience. Lord, we just pray for each one that's here. We thank You for each one that's here. And Lord, as we break here shortly for our fellowship meal, we just thank You that we can celebrate such a day. Lord, we pray You'd work in every heart. In Jesus' name, amen.